Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a woman I could call my friend. And a good Monday afternoon.
Oh, that song just gets me going.
That is my favorite Bruce Springsteen song.
Really?
Yes, Better Days.
Yeah.
1992.
It's a good one.
And a woman I can call my friend.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We have Michael Mackey coming in about an hour from now. He's fresh off his book signing in Des Moines.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow. All the way up in Des Moines.
Yep.
Okay.
He had a signing last night in Eastern Shawnee.
Has he gone Alonzo Washington on us?
He may have, Sam.
Okay. Okay.
It is possible that he has gone Alonzo Washington, yes.
All right.
He's getting there. He's putting the work in.
Where he is, he's bigger than the show.
And what show?
This one.
Careful, we need him to come in still, Dan. Careful.
So when I was away on vacation, I was in South Carolina. Apparently, Taylor Swift dropped a new album on us.
Yes, she did. And my word, it's a little it's a little steamy.
Seems to me like the fans much appreciate depressed Taylor over happy and in love.
Ooh,
Taylor.
Tell me more. What do you know?
Immediately after the release last week, it was released at midnight on Friday. I was starting to hear chatter on social media, Reddit, whatever, that the fans were not huge fans. And then over the weekend, I went down to Branson for a friend's birthday party
willingly?
I did not want to go.
Okay.
In fact, I was not being a very good friend about it. I was complaining. And then we got to Silver Dollar City and I had the best time in the world. So I had to eat my words. But anyway.
Nobody has ever said they went to Silver Dollar City and had the best time of their life.
Your reaction right now is part of why I absolutely did not want to go. But apparently sometime between the first time I went there 20 years ago and this weekend, they got better roller coasters. And oh, it was awesome. Beside the point.
Then I
was surrounded
by, oh
gosh, probably 9 Super Swifties for 36 hours.
Okay.
And did not hear one Taylor Swift song. And towards the end of it, we were getting ready to leave yesterday, and I was like, everything okay, guys?
So they didn't have it on repeat.
New album dropped. I haven't even heard one word of Taylor Swift in the last 36 hours, and they all had the same exact opinion. It sucks.
I started seeing chatter on social again around at least one of her new songs, and so I looked into it, and then I looked up the lyrics, and I'm like, oh my!
You talking about Redwood, Dan?
Do what?
You talking about Redwood?
No, it's just called Wood.
Well, no, but the lyric in the song talks about Redwood.
Yeah, knock on wood. She doesn't have to knock on wood. And there's some, there are some double entendres.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
especially with the song "Wood,"
woo,
is there's a double entendre there.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So apparently she is turning a new leaf in her creative career, where she is no longer writing breakup songs that are safe for everyone, except for all the ones that have cuss words in it and aren't safe for everyone. And now she's writing love songs that are full of innuendo.
So there's a song on there. The name escapes me. Something Ophelette or...
Ophelia?
Ophelia.
Yeah.
Is that safe for air?
I don't know. But by the way, according to the text line, two people in a row, and two people, who knows, are like, Sam, you're totally wrong. Your Swiftie friends suck. Their new album's great. I am just sharing my personal experience surrounding it.
But you're not wrong in this regard, Sam. There were critics over the weekend who said this is not a great record.
Yeah. They said that the Taylor Swift fairy tale is dead.
And maybe this is all putting way too much pressure and importance on just an artist's new album. You know, let her put out what she wants to put out. It sells or it doesn't.
God forbid she writes songs about being happy, being content, being fulfilled in a relationship instead of, you know, here's the scarf that you left behind, you worthless piece of crap. You know, and
she's also a grown woman in her mid-30s. Let her live and be the artist she wants to be. Okay.
And God forbid if the songs are happy now.
I mean, there were critics who were literally saying this better be her last album because it can't get worse from here. And I'm sorry, texters that are huge fans of the new album. I'm just reading what other people are writing. I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift's. I could care less.
You could not care less.
Correct.
I'm not a fan of her music, even when it was Woe Is Me and I Hate My Life and I Hate You and You Broke My Heart. And I don't know anything about this new record, whether it's, you know, I'm Having the Time of My Life, Travis Kelce is the greatest human being I ever met. I've never been a fan of her music, but I'm a fan of her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a good human being.
Yeah. And you know what critics get paid to do?
Critique.
Right. So, yeah.
If you loved it and it's your thing, I mean, it is setting records still.
Well,
despite the fact that I have read a number of Reddit threads and a number of people on social media who just overtly do not like it. People who claim to be Swifties, and maybe they're lying, maybe they're bots just trying to mess up the whole conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if they are bots, Swifties, you got to step it up because their voices are being heard. Maybe it is good. Again, I'm not a fan, so I don't know. Well, but it's still breaking records. $33 million in the box office over the weekend for a movie about an album coming out.
Which, by the way, I went. And I told you this last hour, we went and saw Smashing Machine over the weekend with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. There were two other people in that theater. That's it. It was me and T, and there was a couple behind us. The line to get in to go see the making of whatever the name of this record is was through the roof. I mean, people were – she made $33 million over the weekend on a movie about the making of a record.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably, again, I'm speaking out of turn here because I'm not a Taylor Swift super fan. I loved her first two albums when she was a country artist and then she ruined country music.
Was she?
She will be again.
I think she will return to it eventually, but I just lost my train of thought. It could be because at this point she is so far in her career that her original fan base are now mothers, right? Mm-hmm. And so she hasn't written all of this innuendo for all these years. And then now these fans are mothers and they're taking their little girls to go and get the new album at midnight. And then the first song that they hear is about wood. And there's literally a line in the song about
stuff.
I can't even repeat it on the radio.
A song about stuff.
And what you and do love. With stuff. Thank you, Dan. And if I were a young mother and I was like, now, little nine-year-old, who's my daughter? You got to listen to this. Taylor Swift's the greatest of all time, and that's what I hear. I would be upset, too.
Let me look up these lyrics.
Well, this is the thing that I think a lot of folks that like artists don't like, is the artists actually evolving, growing up, getting older, trying new things, doing different things with their art. And because we always expect them to be just this when we really latched on and liked them. Things change, you know, artists change. Her life experiences have changed over the past couple of years. And now she's engaged to a pro football player and she wants to write about it.
And keep in mind, texters who are getting really mad at me for saying these things. Super Swifties thought that the previous albums were, you know.
Oh, my word.
I know.
Oh, did you find the lyric?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But they thought the previous albums were the Holy Grail, right? So for them to say this one sucks, that doesn't mean that it's bad.
Are we talking about the line that opens with his love was the key?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And then it mentions a body part.
Yeah, we got it.
Yes.
What, we're good, Sam.
What that body part's going to do.
Sam, we're good.
Yeah.
Oh, she's, my word.
She is now in her satisfied era.
Yeah. Really, Dan? Really.
Okay. 913-586-7798.
I'm uncomfortable.
Whew. His love was the key. I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
You can look up the lyric if you'd like to know the rest.
Roller skates.
586-7798.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this new Taylor?
This is The Fate of Ophelia.
Which is her first single off the album.
I don't know. It is. It is the number one track on the album.
It's good.
Yeah, she did say that she was going to return back to pure pop. And I think she did, at least listening to that song by itself, fulfill that promise.
What's wrong with the song? Why are people so critical of the new record?
I will say 4 through 12 are all explicit.
Oh.
So it's a 12-song album, which, by the way, I did a little more reading into it.
Now, but wait a minute. Define explicit when you're talking about a song.
You read the lyrics.
Well.
But it doesn't. You're right. It doesn't have the F-bomb in it.
I mean, if the lyrics that I read from the song would, we all get what she's talking about. If that is explicit, then what about every other song from the 1980s, right?
And everything in between. The 80s and now.
She has a song called Father Figure where she says, I can make deals with the devil because my is bigger.
What is...
you may call someone by this name if their full name is Richard.
Okay. She can make deals with the devil because her Richard is bigger?
Reading the lyric.
She has a Richard?
I think it's a euphemism. Or an analogy.
Oh, that is also the chorus. So that line is...
repeated more than once.
Yeah. It's a sing-along.
It's a sing-along.
I mean, you know, if it's either for you or it's not.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
Listen, I mean, you remember Madonna.
Yes,
remember?
Of course, of course.
I mean, the things that we were all singing and humming to.
Well, and you remember her video for Like a Prayer in 1989.
Oh.
Where the I mean, God forbid, Dan.
The controversy, that thing.
Well,
oh, my God.
Jesus was black, right? Oh, my God. And he's crying tears of blood. And the fact that Jesus was black. Oh. I mean, stop the tape. Rewind it. We're getting out of here. Madonna just made Jesus black.
If this is Taylor Swift's worst album of her entire career, and it's still setting records...
Mm-hmm.
We can say, they can say, anybody can say whatever they want to. And she can laugh all the way to the bank.
Absolutely.
But yeah, when I saw the Atlantic article saying that her career was dead with this album, I was like, whoa.
Well, but you know what I think, Sam? I think when you get to this height, that article was already written. They wrote that article before she even released the record. Because America loves to build you up, and then America loves to tear you down.
And right? to saddle you with outsized expectations.
Right. And so, you know, when Michael Jackson released Bad in 1987, there was no way it was ever going to live up to Thriller from 82.
Came close.
It did. But... The critics were already going to say this album sucks. Because we love to build, I don't know what it is, and I don't know if it's uniquely American. Maybe it is. I have no idea. But we love to build somebody up, right? Michael Jackson in 1982, Taylor Swift in 2023. And then we love to tear you down.
And we also love to freeze people in time.
What do you mean?
We don't allow people in the artists to grow and evolve and do something different. The whole reason why you liked them to begin with was because of their artistry. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to create new things, do different things, but you want them to still be, you know, I mean, how many times do I have to play Kansas City? You know what I mean?
Now... Hmm. There are some sentiments on the text line talking about how, well, you know, we always sang the dirty lyrics in that song. I think it's different if you're an artist who releases that style of music your entire career because you build a fan base that's okay with those lyrics. For example, I'm a massive 90s rap fan. Love it. You're not going to catch me just singing along to half of those songs. Because I'm just
why,
not gonna.
Why, Sam? Why wouldn't you sing along to them?
Because well,
they're a little
I work in radio.
Naughty.
They're naughty. They're bad songs. I love
because
them. They sound cool.
And the N-word is in every other sentence?
But if, you know, that rap artist was famous for releasing the Elmo sing-along, and then his next album was something he released in 1994... they would have some backlash on him, right? So when your entire fan base is these young, 12 to 18-year-old girls or 35 to 45-year-old girls, women now, who have the younger kids, they're not going to be okay with it.
I'm still thinking about Elmo doing 90s gangster rap.
You're welcome. Sit on that one.
Well, I'll be honest. I love iced tea. The wrapper.
Sweet or unsweet?
No, unsweetened. But I love iced tea, the rapper. I will listen to his CDs in my car, but I will not sing along with it because it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That word is not coming out of my mouth.
From the text line, she's 35. She wrote these lyrics like she's 17. Now, I do have to give her some props, though, because I can't believe I read so much about this over the weekend.
Clearly you did.
Way too much. Well, I was confused because the Swifties were mad. I was like, I got to know why.
The Swifties were mad or the critics were mad?
The Swifties, he knows.
Again, I've seen a lot of stuff all over social media. It's not just critics on social media. It's like Swifty Reddit threads that are not happy with the production.
Okay. Taylor Swift, I don't think she ever sold herself as being some kind of pure Disney princess.
Clearly
right?
not.
So
she's let's be honest. She's been around the block a time or two.
She's a woman in her mid-30s. Okay.
Like I said.
I'm not going to sing it, but she wears short skirts. I wear sneakers. She's cheer captain. And I'm on the bleachers. She's literally painting it as like, oh, I'm the innocent one that.
Well, she's telling
nobody
a tale.
Gets attention.
I mean,
wow.
What? That's what that song's basically saying.
Okay.
Well, the story within the song that she's singing is telling that tale. I mean,
that's not saying it's real life. I've written songs before that weren't real life.
No, it's true.
I wrote a song called Snow about snorting cocaine. I've never seen cocaine in my life.
Oh, from the text line, Scott, the line in wood that you read. So there are clean versions. And the line in wood that you read instead of what it actually reads says, open the skies.
Okay. That's not what the song says.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to read that line.
I wouldn't.
But just know that it rhymes with opens my skies.
And by the way, the other song that I read lyrics from, the father figure, instead of because my is bigger, it's because my checks are bigger, is the clean version.
913-586-7798, Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. I'm actually going to take offense to, not offense, but a bridge to this text. Scott, you said been around the block, referring to Taylor Swift. When was the last time that you said a man had been around the block? You would call it dating if it was a man, grow up. I don't think that's true. Easily you could say that a man has been around the block.
Why does it have to do with dating?
I don't know.
I don't know. I would like to.
That's how they read it.
The 8 texters that are really mad at me and the other 700 of you that are agreeing with me. Thank you.
What are they saying?
Oh, well, Sam just must be pure and perfect.
I mean,
real Swifties love all Taylor Swift. I'm like, okay. I'm sorry for telling you what I'm reading from other people.
So wait. If you're a Taylor Swift fan, right, you have to like everything she puts out?
Well, no, they're saying that they do like everything she puts out.
I mean, I'm a super there are two artists that I love more than any other artist on the planet. Thin Lizzy and Prince. And I can easily tell you that Thin Lizzy has put out garbage records. I can also tell you that Prince has put out garbage records. There are some records that Prince put out, the Black Album being number one, that are so terrible. They're not, I own it, but I don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about. You know, like a natural evolution of a human adult that creates art in the form of music. This stuff happens.
I mean,
I'm
a huge Tom Cruise fan. I love a lot of the movies that Tom Cruise is in, but there have been movies that Tom Cruise has put out that I'm like, that sucked.
I will say the number one critique that I saw was that she should have waited longer and made it better.
What do you
Meaning
mean?
They think that she rushed it. And what I was getting at in the previous segment about what I had read about it was that she did all of the writing, the recording, all of it in the middle of the Eras tour. She would get like a 2-day break from, I don't know, Dubai and fly to Sweden. Where she would work for 48 hours straight.
Yeah,
maybe record two songs and then fly back to her next destination.
Yeah, she recorded a lot of this record in Sweden on breaks between her Eras tour.
So she might have been rushed and burdened and trying to get it done.
But what I've heard...
Also dating this football player, you know.
Who's that?
Some guy.
Mm. Is he playing tonight?
I hope so.
I think.
Speaking of, by the way, Xavier Worthy... Is
scheduled to play tonight.
Questionable, but scheduled to play, yes.
So, what was the song you played when we went to break? Something Ophelia?
Ophelia something.
Okay.
I don't know. Was I supposed to actually read the whole title?
I actually thought that was good.
No, it was good. It sounds good.
I like that song.
The Fate of Ophelia.
The Fate of Ophelia.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good song. What's wrong with it? Here's what I get back to. Critics critique.
Yeah.
Right? If their job was to say everything was great, they wouldn't have a job. Their job is to tell you, hey, so-and-so sucks. They're terrible. And what we heard in that last segment, The Fate of Ophelia,
yeah.
I thought that was really good.
And you can't hit a home run every single time you swing.
No, you cannot.
I need to detour back to a story that we talked about last segment with my sports reference, although I'm going to football. We had talked about Mark Sanchez, right?
Okay, so Phil, for those who have not heard, refresh the story.
So we were confused initially in the second segment of the first hour. You can go back and listen to it on podcast about what the heck happened with Mark Sanchez.
Right.
So I've done some more reading in the breaks because I'm now obsessed with this story. As it turns out, he just completely, allegedly, attacked this innocent grease truck driver.
67 years old.
That grease truck driver told police that he literally thought that Mark Sanchez was going to kill him, and that is why he started stabbing him.
Well, he sprayed him with pepper spray first.
Yeah, before Sanchez overtook him and stabbed the grease truck driver in his own cheek, cutting his tongue with his own knife.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez is now facing level 5 felony charges, a couple of other misdemeanor charges. We're all still trying to piece together what happened. The entire altercation is on surveillance footage that police have in their hands. However, the update that I am bringing you now, the elderly delivery driver has now filed suit against both Mark Sanchez and Fox Sports. This guy still has a hole in his cheek and has filed a lawsuit against Mark Sanchez and Fox Sports.
Why is he suing Fox Sports?
He was in Indianapolis because of his job.
And Fox Sports had something to do with that? How?
Well, when you file a lawsuit, you go after the turnip that has a lot of juice.
Of course, you go after the money.
Yeah. But he has now filed lawsuit, probably for damages, considering he has a hole in his cheek. Something tells me that Mark Sanchez is not going to be doing color commentary on Fox Sports.
Something tells me that
allegedly
Mark Sanchez is going to be releasing a statement in the next few weeks that says, number one, or next few days, that this is not who I am. I'm going to rehab. I need to get a hold of the situation, and that's it. He is going to go to rehab so that this lawsuit goes bye-bye.
I don't know if it's going to go bye-bye. He wants unspecified damages, and I'm sure that there's at minimum 6 zeros behind that first number.
Sure.
They're going to want to get it out of the discussion. That's for sure.
A story here from the New York Post. Artificial intelligence and automation could wipe out nearly 100 million jobs in the United States over the next decade, according to a report from the U.S. Senate. The analysis, ironically based on ChatGPT findings, found that the new tech could erase jobs from a wide range of fields, including white and blue-collar roles. AI, automation, and robotics could hit 40% of registered nurses, 47% of truck drivers, 64% of accountants, 65% of teaching assistants, and 89% of fast food workers.
I'm surprised that accountant number is that low, quite frankly.
Why?
Well, obviously, there's a lot more to the accounting field than data entry, but any and all data entry jobs within the accounting field could be taken over by AI.
Here are the two that I find bizarre. 40% of registered nurses?
Probably analysis and medicine dispensing.
47% of truck drivers?
Automated trucks that we're seeing.
You're comfortable with that on the highway?
Well, no, but I don't think I'm going to have a choice. They're already running them 1,200 miles at a time in Texas to test them out, and I don't think there's been any catastrophic failures yet.
89% of fast food workers.
Yeah, I mean, that's inevitable.
Robotics.
Sorry. Yeah.
But robotics can't cook the burger.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, it can. Have you seen a McDonald's kitchen?
How are they going to get the fries in the little...
I was just about to say, the only thing a robot is not doing right now in a McDonald's kitchen is actively putting the food together. Everything else is completely automated. The length of the cook time for the patties, the length of the cook time for any breakfast item, the machine does it.
And AI can flip the burger? Can put the fries in the...
Well, the AI is just a computer program. So you've built the robotics and you've programmed it to run a certain way, and it will.
From the text line, truck driver here, it'll never happen. I genuinely pray that we never switch to self-driving trucks as the norm.
We're already at self-driving cars.
And we've seen what kind of cluster that is.
By the way, Tesla cars do not stop at railroad crossings. They do not recognize the bar when it comes down.
I had not heard that one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, there are certain things that you just simply cannot replace. Now, us, we're so stupid that very easy to replace. Hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon.
913-586-7798. Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Michael Mackey joins us right after 4 o'clock here on KMBZ.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know, I love all things astronomy. There is a rogue planet that has been observed gobbling 6 billion tons of gas and dust per second.
No.
Yes. An unprecedented rate that blurs the line between planet and stars, according to astronomers. Unlike Earth and other planets in our solar system, which orbit the sun, this rogue planet floats freely through the universe untethered to a star. What?
And you've seen all the stuff about 3-Eye Atlas or whatever.
Yeah.
What's going on right now?
Scientists estimate there could be trillions of rogue planets in our galaxy alone that just roam through the solar system, not tethered to a star.
It's kind of par for the course, but I feel like the more that we learn about space, the more that we learn that we don't know about space.
The planet, can we just give these planets names, please? It's officially known as CHA 1107-7626. Can we not just call it like CHA? Has a mass of 5 to 10 times bigger than Jupiter. Wow.
Okay.
It is still in its infancy. It is roughly 1 to 2 million years old.
And how does this form without having something larger for it to orbit around?
Like a star?
Yeah. I mean, the planets form through collection of mass in wide open space mm-hmm. that create their own gravitational pull that then collect more mass.
That force them to create their own gravitational pull.
Yes.
That force them to become planets. Yes.
So this is just some anomaly that has violated all of our understandings of space?
And Sam, keep in mind, it says here in our solar system, and no, check that, in our galaxy, there could be trillions of rogue planets. Trillions. What are they just floating around, waiting to collide into something?
Yeah. I don't know.
Here are the 10 U.S. cities where incomes are growing the fastest, and 4 of them are in California. Would you care to guess the rest?
Let's see.
By the way, none are even within 8 hours' drive of Kansas City.
Let me start with guessing California. Berkeley.
No.
San Francisco?
Yes.
L.A.?
I'm going to give you Long Beach. Yeah.
Okay. So it's all the boring big ones. I'm guessing something near San Diego is on there, like a Del Mar.
Nope. San Jose, California is also on the list.
Okay. Okay.
I believe that's near L.A., if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's way north, but anyway. Is it?
Okay. Fresno. So now we have California off the map. Here are the rest.
Houston.
No, nothing even close.
Okay, give me the rest.
Mesa, Arizona. Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Tucson, Arizona. Baltimore, Maryland. I was there yesterday. Louisville, Kentucky. And Tampa, Florida.
Now, for Tampa, I could see it being a retirement surge causing that increase. You've got a certain number of people with a certain amount of wealth, and granted, it's not a traditional income. But
and Mesa, Arizona, and Tucson, because my grandparents, for example, retired in Arizona.
But Baltimore?
Yep.
I don't know. Is there some sort of like tech hub growing near Baltimore that
I
we
have
don't
no
know
idea.
About?
So when we were coming back from South Carolina on Saturday, we flew into Baltimore, Washington Airport. Or
I'm
Washington.
So sorry.
No, it's okay. It was a very nice airport,
oh,
by
good.
The way. Beautiful airport. But the gal in Southwest, she was really funny. She said, welcome to Washington, Baltimore Airport. You're not in Washington and you are not in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's just the two nearest
right.
big cities.
So I don't know where it is, but we were in neither city.
Huh.
We weren't in Washington. We were not in Baltimore.
But it had a nice airport? Some good snacks?
It was gorgeous.
Soap in the soap dispensers in the bathroom?
Yes. It was a beautiful airport.
Good.
Michael Mackey joins us in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.